Jeannie Trantell seemed to have it all. Two beautiful boys and a handsome husband.
My girlfriends were jealous. Like, everyone wanted Steve. We were adorable together.
But behind this picture-perfect marriage was a shocking secret. Jeannie's husband wasn't who she thought he was.
This was one for the books. I don't know if you'll ever see a case like this again.
Honestly, I was petrified. I was petrified of him.
When it comes to love and marriage, things aren't always as they seem. Is built on love, trust, and honesty. But if any one of them is missing, anything can happen. And no one knows that better than Jeannie Trantell.
I'm a person who loves to laugh. It dawned on me one day, it was like the irony of my life. Like, what happened here?
It all began in 1990. When the fun-loving girl from Long Island was out with her friends and first laid eyes on Stephen Trantell.
He was 5'9", blonde hair, gorgeous, gorgeous light blue eyes, and we hit it off right away.
He was perfect for Jeannie because they both had that outgoing, vivacious personality. I'm like, oh, we like him.
As a commodities trader on Wall Street, Stephen had a good job and seemed to know exactly what he wanted in life. And he believed Jeannie completed the picture. 3 years after they met, Jeannie became Stephen's wife.
It was amazing. I had the most beautiful wedding dress. I remember walking up the aisle and my heart was melting.
We're about to celebrate this marriage.
They couldn't wait to do the kiss. Because they're both kind of show people.
Jeannie and Stephen eventually bought a home in the close-knit community of Rockville Center, Jeannie's hometown. And before long, they were the parents of two beautiful boys. Jeannie quit her job in sales to stay home full-time.
Stephen was an incredible dad. He was very, very involved with the children right away.
Stephen wanted to make everybody happy, whether it was his family, his neighbor, his boss, his little league team. That was what he wanted to do.
Proud mommy and daddy.
For Stephen, providing for his growing family appeared to be a top priority.
Stephen's main goal all the time was money, money, money. He talked about Wall Street, making it big on Wall Street all the time.
But the world of trading has its ups and downs.
One week you are flying. You have made $25,000. You're paying your mortgage. You're going on a vacation. You're going shopping. Money's no problem. The next week, we're dead broke. We have nothing.
Jeannie weathered the ups and downs by finding solace in her family. Stephen had his own passion.
He loved to fish. That was his escape from life. Fishing was his relaxation, I think.
By November 28, 2003, the couple had been married for 9 years. But their perfect life together was about to change. And it all started with one of Stephen's fishing trips.
He left for the morning. I remember him walking down the stairs and then walking up the stairs again to kiss me.
Stephen left with Jeannie's Uncle Rod. They planned to return just after lunch. At noon, Stephen called to say he was almost home. But by 1:30, he still hadn't arrived.
I called Uncle Rod, and Uncle Rod said, no, he dropped me off about 12 o'clock and called you. So I'm thinking from my mother's house to my house, what could have happened to this man?
By 5 o'clock, I realized, you know what? He hasn't called her. He hasn't come home. Something is desperately, desperately wrong.
I called every hospital, asking if there was a man that came in and some kind of car accident. You know, blonde hair, blue eyes. Nothing.
By 6 p.m., Stephen had been missing for 6 hours. They were supposed to attend a wake that evening, but Jeannie had to go alone.
I was at the wake for about an hour, feeling very strange. Like, why would Stephen miss this wake? Like, he would never miss this wake. It was out of his character.
By the time Jeannie and her good friend Brooke returned home that night, Jeannie was panicked.
It was eerie out. It was dark out. And that's kind of the mood that we were in the house.
Then at 9:20 p.m., 9 hours after Jeannie last spoke to her husband, a call came in that would change her life forever.
As the caller on the other end was speaking, I watched the color drain out of Jeannie's face.
I was totally in shock.
In the summer of 2003, 9 months before receiving the call that would forever change what Jeannie Trentel believed about her husband, she noticed a change in his behavior.
It was so apparent that he was so not himself.
Stephen usually left his troubles at the office, but one day he came home in a foul mood that hung over their marriage for weeks.
He would come home and his anxiety was so high. I'd say, Steve, is everything okay? And he would always complain he was stressed at work, that the floor was stressful.
Good friends like Brooke Jones noticed the change.
Hello. He was just a happy, happy guy. And now he was a little snippy and he just wasn't himself.
He got very mean and very nasty.
Was work to blame for Stephen's unusual behavior? Or was something else going on?
Let's see, we chalked it up to an early midlife crisis. Boredom, da-da-da-da-da. You think he's got a girlfriend on the side.
I said, you're definitely having a marital affair. I was really crazy about that.
Stephen denied he was having an affair. But that didn't make Jeannie feel any better.
I remember giving him my wedding ring at one point, like that next week, saying, if you don't change, here's my ring, because you're not the man I married.
I'm not a psychologist, but he just was not, he was not happy. He was not himself. Something was going on.
Then in the fall of 2003, Jeannie got her first hint of what that something might be. The mortgage company called to complain that their bill was overdue.
I said, Stephen, we're in trouble. The mortgage company called us. What's going on? He would tell me to ignore it. He's taking care of it.
You know, that really didn't signal to her, like, oh my gosh, something is really, really, really wrong.
Jeannie decided to ignore the mortgage call, but she felt her marriage was still in trouble. On November 27th, 2003, the family took a trip to New York City to see the Thanksgiving Day parade.
We're driving into Manhattan, and he's driving like a lunatic. I was like, Steve, slow down. He was going in and out of the truck. No, it was crazy. It was like a speed chase.
Stephen's erratic behavior only got worse later that evening.
He was so cold and so mean, I didn't even know who he was. Honestly, I was petrified. I was petrified of him. And the kids heard that night.
The day after Thanksgiving, he was his old chipper self again because he was going out fishing.
Actually, I was happy he was going away. I was so tired of him. I wanted him to get out of the house.
But Jeannie's life was about to take an unexpected turn as her world collides with a notorious criminal.
He was a bit of a risk taker. I took the wrong risk.
I was speechless.
Nine years into her marriage, Jeannie Trantell's picture-perfect life with her husband, Stephen, seemed to be falling apart. Meanwhile, not far from Rockville Center, Detective Sergeant James Skopeck was having troubles of his own. He was trying to catch the most uncanny criminal.
The problem with this was every step I moved in the chess game was matched.
For 4 months, the man known as the Long Island bank robber had given police the runaround, easily nabbing over $65,000. Each heist was caught on tape, but police had no idea who the robber was.
If you notice, he knew where the camera was because with his baseball hat, he is now looking downward. So if you look at this first frame, he knows the cameras are running and you can't get any facial features from him whatsoever.
Skopeck knew he was dealing with a suspect who'd done his research. A man who stayed ahead of the game by carefully hiding his identity under a baseball hat, glasses, and gloves. A man who pretended to be a customer with checkbook in hand. A man who waited patiently in line before handing the teller a stick-up note demanding a bag of money. And he did it all with daring panache, always staying one step ahead of police.
I'll even give you one example. I set up on the South Shore with detectives, surveillance, helicopter standing by, every bit of resources we have, and the bank gets hit on the North Shore.
Catching a thief who thinks of almost everything isn't easy. But investigators finally caught a break when the crime lab examined a stick-up note left behind at the scene of robbery number 9. This note was different than the rest.
The last note that I noticed was something that was ripped from a spiral notebook. Think for yourself, when you go to a spiral notebook, are you gonna put on your gloves and then rip that page out of the spiral notebook?
It was the mistake police had been waiting for. Lab technicians recovered a clean fingerprint, and they would soon have a name to match it. On the day after Thanksgiving, Stephen Trantell went out fishing and never returned. 9 hours after he should have been home, Jeannie was frantic. Then a phone call finally came in.
You know when you get a real bad knot in your stomach and you're gonna throw up? I just didn't even want to answer it. But I picked up the phone and he said, Mrs. Trantell?
As the caller on the other end was speaking, I watched the color drain out of Jeannie's face. I thought that Stephen, God forbid, was dead.
The news was bad, but not at all what Jeannie expected. Stephen had been pulled over by police for driving with a broken taillight. Then he was promptly arrested for something else entirely.
He said, we have Stephen in custody for robbing Fleet Banks all over Long Island. I didn't believe it. I said, you have the wrong man. Stephen would never rob banks.
The first thing that I did, and I'll be honest, was I almost laughed. I said, what? That is the most absurd thing I've ever heard. I said, all right, who's playing a joke on you right now?
But it was no laughing matter. Stephen was not only being accused of one bank robbery, but 10. Jeannie's husband, the son of a retired cop, was facing charges that could land him in prison for decades.
I said, may I speak to him? So Stephen got on the phone. He said, don't worry about it, don't panic. It's not true.
Well, we all agreed that they had the wrong person and that this couldn't possibly be true.
And Jeannie was convinced he had the perfect alibi.
I would say, Steve, you have records of you working like on the floor. So I said to him, I said, of course this is gonna be fine.
So was it a case of mistaken identity, or was Stephen Trantell fooling everyone?
Do I think Stephen had it in him to do this? I don't think so.
In December 2003, a month after her husband's arrest for bank robbery, Jeannie Trantell was living a nightmare.
I did not sleep, did not eat. I was so nauseous and sick that I was totally in shock.
Investigators were certain they had the right man, but Stephen claimed he was innocent, and Jeannie was sure he could prove it.
I would say, Steve, you can clear your innocence because you have records of you working like on the floor. So I said to him, I said, of course this is gonna be fine. He would always be blank when I would say that.
Meanwhile, the evidence against Stephen was overwhelming. According to police records, Stephen had been arrested and fingerprinted back in 1984 for a DUI, and those prints matched the note left behind at the ninth robbery.
The fingerprints don't lie, so the fingerprint was a telltale sign. Then we did lineups, and he was identified by the victim tellers and witnesses on several of the banks. So we were locked. It was locked.
My dad came into my house and he said, Jeannie, I have to talk to you. We went into my den, we went on my couch, and he told me, Stephen robbed the banks, he's guilty.
Jeannie's dad, a retired New York prosecutor, had reviewed the evidence and convinced Jeannie that Stephen was guilty. Jeannie also sought out some of Stephen's colleagues at the Commodities Exchange.
I had quite a few people that also came over and started saying, like, he wasn't on the floor. I had people that used to work with him that said he's been missing for months. No one knew where he was. So I started getting angry at Stephen because he wasn't telling me the truth.
Finally, after weeks of crying foul, Stephen came clean. He had been banned from the New York Commodity Exchange 4 months earlier for losing too much money. But that's not all he confessed to.
That's when I had to, like, really pull it out of him. And he said he did it. He ran out of money. He didn't know where to go. He was in fear. He was stuck. We were losing our house. And he thought to himself, one day, I have to rob a bank. And that's what he did. Every day he got up, he put on his work clothes, and I gave him his lunch. I kissed him goodbye. And he would call me during the day, talk about work, it's so stressful. But really, the guy was out robbing banks.
According to investigators, Stephen carefully studied the ins and outs of bank robbery at a local library before making his first heist. Almost every time, the plan was the same. Stephen walked into a bank as a customer, then within seconds walked out with a bag of money, dumped his disguise in the trash, then calmly walked away, sipping a cup of coffee.
I mean, he was very, very good at it, actually. I mean, he was up until he was caught. You know, he was good at keeping his clues hidden, and he lived a life of a lie for a long time.
And all along, Jeannie was completely fooled.
I'm sure there were so many people in this town that thought, how didn't she know? But I did not know. I did not know. Stephen wanted his life to be perfect. He wanted this house in Rockville Center. He wanted his boys to have everything. He did want me to have everything. I have to say, he did.
But instead of enjoying the good life, Stephen was sentenced to 9 years behind bars.
I still, to this day, can't wrap my whole brain around what happened. That why wouldn't he choose me to talk to and just tell me what was really happening? Because it could have been worked out.
Jeannie knew the fairy tale was over. In May of 2004, she divorced Stephen shortly after he went to prison.
What I would have ever thought on my wedding day, when I took my vows, that by the way, in the future, you will be, you know, having a husband in prison, and these kids will lose their dad to prison. I would never believe it.
Ironically, Stephen's arrest came just 3 weeks after the couple attended a Halloween party in jailbird costumes. After years of letting her husband call the shots, today, Jeannie is fully in charge.
I'm working three jobs to pay the bills and the mortgage, and I know what it's like out there.
Jeannie went from being someone who was always taken care of. Now, she was the person who was taking care of the boys. So that was a dramatic 360 for her.
I'm a changed person now. There's no going back to what I was.
With her eyes wide open, Jeannie Trentel now knows that in love and life, anything can happen.
How would somebody think, being with somebody for 10 years, married to, you know, your closest friend, sleeping with him every night, you know, having these two kids, that he was living another life? But it can happen. It can. And it does happen. It's real. It's reality.